I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hello, D-Aliens. This is Miraz, your executive producer of the DA Show. Yeah, I'm going to say sidekick on the DA Show. And we all know the king of all work ethic. This right here. This is the best of today's DA Show. Listen up.
Patrick Mahomes ends up signing for an obscene amount of cash. An absolutely insane dollar amount. Patrick Mahomes has been given by the Kansas City Chiefs a 10-year extension. This would lock up Mahomes and will lock up Mahomes for the Chiefs until 2031. That Mahomes will be a member of the Chiefs until 2031. Adam Schefter is reporting that the deal is worth $450 million over that 10-year period. Just for some context, that's about $45 million per year on average. $45 million per year for 10 years with incentives that could be up to $500 million. That means that there's the potential for Patrick Mahomes to be making $500 million over the next decade. It includes a no-trade clause and a $140 million injury guarantee. Now, this has just about everything you could possibly want if you are the Kansas City Chiefs, knowing that you lock up an MVP, a Super Bowl MVP, for the duration of his prime years, his career. Because right now, in his mid-20s, you know that Mahomes, barring some unforeseen crazy setback, is going to be one of the best players in football, if not the best player in football, for the foreseeable future and is worth all of those 10 years. You also don't have to worry now about contract negotiations and renegotiating and losing Mahomes. You don't have to worry about any of that if you're the Chiefs. He also has a no-trade clause, suggesting that at least at the moment, I don't want to go anywhere. You can't trade me. I want to be right here. If you are the Chiefs and you just saw these two starting quarterback seasons, NFL MVP, home field advantage, AFC championship game loss in overtime to the Patriots, and then a Super Bowl win, including the Super Bowl MVP, you are willing to give whatever it takes to get that guy locked up the cash he deserves. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. And if you are Patrick Mahomes, look, you get your financial security. You don't have to worry about this contract in the next couple of years looking bad for you, because if you're going to make upwards of $450 million, you know that on the front end of this deal, at the very least, who knows where finances go for the NFL, but on the front end of this deal, the first 5 or 6 years, if you're Mahomes, you know you're getting as much as anybody in the NFL, if not more. You know that there's not going to be, over the next 5 years, anybody that zooms ahead and passes you in the passing lane in terms of more money than this. There's no way this contract's going to look bad for the next 5 or 6 years for Mahomes. Is it possible at the back end of it, there are quarterbacks that are making $50 million a year? It's possible. But if you're Mahomes and you're Mahomes' agent, you just broke the bank. you got $500 million and seemingly no movement, where Mahomes is saying, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to be here for a decade. This is one of the most amazing things in sports. When I saw this come down yesterday, I had to pause and really think about this. Patrick Mahomes just got a 10-year, nearly $500 million deal. And nobody could question it. Think about how rare that is when we see these massive contracts in sports. There's always somebody that goes, well, he's not worth that. Or how's that going to look at the end of his contract? Nobody possibly could look at this and go, yeah, Mahomes isn't worth it. Or I don't know about Mahomes' future. Or maybe he's a flash in the pan. Or should they really do this? Or is there better value out there? There is nobody that can question a $450 million deal. And what does that tell us? What does that tell us? To me, that is the most extraordinary dynamic about this. That you could hand over that much cash and nobody blink. Is there any risk involved in the Chiefs giving up this much money? It is where we begin, your cold open.
Patrick Mahomes, fullback, Sherman shifts to the right. They're going to run a sprint option action. Mahomes keeps it. He dives right side. Touchdown, Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes, a one-yard touchdown run. His third rushing touchdown of his postseason career.
I want to be a Chief for a long time. I want to have a contract that says that, and that I can go out there and know that I have that security and everything like that. But I understand and trust the Chiefs organization and everybody in it that they're going to handle it the right way. I trust my representation that they're going to let me ease my mind and let me go out there and just love the game that I've loved playing. And so for me, whenever that happens, it happens.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs. That, of course, was Patrick Mahomes. I don't think there's any risk in this if you are the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you worry about Patrick Mahomes getting fat and happy, satisfied after he got his money and his ring? No, there's no sense that Mahomes suddenly will become complacent. Are you worried that he won't be as effective as his career weighs on? I don't think so. Mahomes has proven that not only is he mobile, but he doesn't need to be mobile to be effective. His arm talent, his ability is that great. Do you worry about guys being resentful of all of this cash that he got? No, his teammates absolutely love him and look to him to lead them. If you're the Chiefs, you have just given your fan base the greatest Valentine ever. Not only did we win a Super Bowl for you, but we just delivered you the most exciting player in football and a franchise quarterback, something you've been dying for half a century, for the next 11 years. And if you look at the timeline of this contract, yes, it's a ton of cash, $450 million, could be $500 million, but he's only 24 now. This carries him through 35 years old. You're not paying Patrick Mahomes for his 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41 seasons. We're not talking about Drew Brees' age right now. We're not talking about paying Patrick Mahomes where Tom Brady is right now. We're talking about you would absolutely sign up right now for the next 11 years of Patrick Mahomes at 24 years old at whatever the cost is going to be. This is the absolute no-brain win for the Chiefs. And it's amazing. He's the only guy in football you can give $400 million to, and nobody could blink. There's not another player in football, not another player, you could not feel this comfortable giving this to Lamar Jackson, despite his young age and how much good football he's got left, Deshaun Watson, they haven't proven nearly as much as Mahomes already has. You can't give it to a guy like Aaron Donald or Russell Wilson because of their age. You can't give each one of them 11 years right now. Look, Russell Wilson is great. He is spectacular. But in 11 years, he's going to be in his 40s. Well, you don't know what Russell Wilson, a guy that is so great, but a lot of that is based on his mobility in the pocket, is at 41 or 42. You're not paying Mahomes at 41 or 42. You're paying him between the ages of 24 and 35. This contract is mind-boggling because of the money, but it makes total sense, is completely logical, and it's worth every cent. That's what makes this historic and truly special. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Think about this. I mean, it has felt as though Patrick Mahomes has been in our lives forever. It has felt as though Patrick Mahomes has been in the NFL, absolutely crushing it, for years now. And yet, Mahomes, with all of his success and all of the accolades that have come with it, has been a starting quarterback for two seasons. Think about that. Think about what Mahomes has already proven in 2 years. His rookie season, he sat up until week 17. Year two, he takes over. They have home field advantage, the number one seed of the AFC, losing overtime to the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game. In year number two as a starter, he leads his team to the Super Bowl and wins it as the MVP. That's what's insane. Do you worry about Mahomes in the postseason? The guy has 13 touchdowns against just two interceptions through the air in his two playoffs. Add three rushing touchdowns in there. He's got a 16-2 touchdown to interception ratio in the playoffs. In two postseasons, he's thrown for nearly 1,500 yards. The list goes on and on why he is unreal and why the money is worth it and why the Chiefs made a smart move with his contract. Now, the deal, of course, is you spend all of this money on Patrick Mahomes. You've got to make sure that you don't go cheap everywhere else. You've got to find ways to make sure that you're spending cash to get him targets and defensive help as well. But to just know you've got him locked up for that long, and now you just work around that. If you're a Chiefs fan, everybody's been telling you how bad 2020 is. You're looking around going, nah, been pretty good for me. Incredible. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. When we come back, your best audio of the day. Could we see AB land in the NFC? We'll hear that clip coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So, late Saturday night, early Sunday morning in Newburgh, Oregon, police responded to reports of a stolen Toyota Land Cruiser. The car was quickly located, driving through town. A chase ensued. The driver obviously was not stopping until he crashed into a Buick Regal. That car was also stolen. So yes, one stolen car somehow crashed into another. Randy Lee Cooper stole the Toyota and is now charged with eluding police, third-degree assault, and reckless driving. Kristen Nicole Begway was in the Buick. It had been stolen days before. It was not in the process of being stolen like the other car, but it was in fact stolen, and she was under the influence, so she has those charges on top of everything else. But yes, a car gets stolen, driving away from police, crash into another car that is also currently driven by not its owner. in glorious Newburgh, Oregon.
Well, there's a lot here that I really enjoy. I mean, number one, could you imagine the cops on the scene being like, oh, man, a twofer. We didn't have to go into an investigation for the other one. Is it? Wait, turns out this one was stolen too. Jim, get this. Both of these things are stolen. This is great. Number two, this Kristen Nicole Begway. I did a quick Google search of her because her picture, her mugshot, is her looking very comfortable, somewhat satisfied with herself. She's got a smile
on
her face.
I'd say sassy, DA. I'd go with sassy.
She looks sassy and really satisfied with what she had just done, which is stealing a car, getting into an accident, and getting arrested. So I said, what other things do we have on this chick? And so I do a quick Google search, and number one, I came up with her Twitter profile. I'm not joking about this, okay? So this is straight. Kristen Nicole Begway's Twitter handle is @ChrisNicole420. Okay, so
nice.
She definitely enjoys the weed. Definitely enjoys the weed. Now, she has not tweeted in 7 years, which is probably a good thing. But one of her last tweets was simply super goat weed. So I don't know if she was on super.
That's some bender.
I don't know. I don't know if she's been on the super goat weed for 7 years or if she was on the super goat weed when she stole this car and crashed it, but it's distinctly possible she loves herself some weed and she was under the influence when she smashed. But how about this as well? On May the 30th, 2013, again, I'm not going back 70 years. It's like three tweets ago. She tweeted, "If karma doesn't hit her, I will." Can you, I mean, of all the ironies that this chick is smoked up, steals a car, and crashes, and that's how she's caught. She was not going to get caught in the stolen car before she smashed into another person with another stolen car. Hey, karma is a real thing, and you think you're going to escape it, and you never do. It's going to come, and it's going to haunt you. So don't do dopey things. Don't do terrible things. Karma is going to be a bee sting for you. And for Kristen Nicole and the other guy who just looks like a total disgrace, karma ended up getting them right in the keister.
Now that's outrageous.
And you know, real quick here, on a serious note, with all the things going on around the country in terms of social justice and police reform, there's a movement to have news outlets stop publishing mugshots because sometimes we see the mugshot of somebody who ends up being found not guilty or charges are dropped and the mugshot lives forever. So, like, there's valid points on that side of it. But if we stop publishing mugshots, I'm going to miss these types of mugshots
yeah.
where you have her seem to be really, it's almost like a glamour shot, not
yeah.
a mugshot. And then Randy Lee Cooper with this, like, smug little smile, like, yeah, I stole a car, whatever. I mean, like, these, the laughs that you get from these mugshots, while partly maybe are too negative, are also really, really positive.
Absolutely.
Sometimes.
Yeah. No, Nicole's mugshot here is the winner out of all of this because she just stole a car, was high on weed, smashed it, got arrested, and she's just like, yep, yeah, what up? Who doesn't want some of this? Shake and bake, baby. All right, thank you, AB. When we come back, as you mentioned in the update, FC Dallas has been sent home from the MLS's back tournament for too many positive tests. Is this a bad omen for sports? DA, CBS Sports Radio. On Thursday night, 105.7 in Baltimore hosted the Big Mo Show. You guys know my friend Little Mo. I've talked about him often the last couple of weeks, at times getting choked up and emotional. But Little Mo is my hero. Little Mo is a civic icon in Baltimore. Mo is a diehard Orioles and Ravens fan. He has dialed us up when he was just 8 or 9 years old from his bedroom at night when he couldn't sleep and he was listening to the radio. Radio has been Mo's salvation because Mo has been blind since he was just a toddler. And he has battled cancer, multiple types of cancer throughout his body. Over the course of his young life, he's 14 years old. He has been such an inspiration because of his unbelievable positive attitude and his spirit, which just shines through on the radio. He has called our show. He has called other shows on Baltimore's 105.7 and become, in Baltimore, really a local celebrity. And in honor of Little Mo having graduated high school, or I should say middle school, this month, actually last month in June, there was two parades thrown for Little Mo outside of his apartment complex. And a couple of weeks ago, I had a chance to go down to Baltimore, and I got to meet Little Mo in person for the first time and spend a day with him. And it was, and will always be, one of the greatest days of my life. Well, on Thursday night, 105.7's evening host, Jeremy Kahn, who's become a family friend of Mo, helped co-host Mo's first ever radio show from his bedroom. And it was 4.5 hours of listeners and regular Joes and celebrities calling in to salute Mo and to tell Mo how much somebody that they've never met and he hasn't met them meant to them. And how he has been an inspiration and a hero to so many people he's never met. It was one of the most extraordinary things I've ever heard on the radio. 4.5 hours of people calling up and telling one person how much they love him or them, having never met that person. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And I was touched, I was moved, and I really wanted to play some of that for you here on the show. I am proud that 105.7 is a member of the Entercom CBS radio family because what they did on Thursday night was really amazing. And so coming up in an hour from now, I'm going to play some of the greatest hits from Thursday. And man, was Mo on. Mo, no longer Little Mo. Mo wants to be known as Big Mo. The Big Mo Show, which I had the tagline, Faux Show, was phenomenal. And Mo took phone calls from John Harbaugh, Buck Showalter, Roman Reigns, Ray Lewis. I mean, the stars of stars came out for Big Mo on Thursday. He is an amazing miracle of a human being. And I can't wait to play for you the best of Thursday night's Big Mo Show from Baltimore's 105.7 coming up an hour from now. But before we get there, Mo would be proud of us because he has taken his criticisms to the radio as well before. Players, teams, coaches, he's not happy with. We can do it as well here on the show. It's time for Trash Tuesday.
So what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Bogues, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
Well, a quick trash for whomever booked my good buddy Justin Termini to come on this show this morning. If we think that Pete is salty and curmudgeonly, wait till you meet JT. But my real trash.
He'll fit in great right around here.
Exactly. My real trash this morning is for those who have been celebrating their first post-shutdown haircut. Not the folks who are, you know, protesting the need to get a haircut, but the folks who have been posting pictures on social media that this haircut is like them getting out of some kind of work camp, and that we should all be celebrating their loss of locks. Now, as you can see on watchda.com, I need a haircut as much as anybody. I have a career-high amount of hair right now,
uh-huh.
But I'm at the point where I'm so bothered by these celebratory haircut pics that now I'm not getting a haircut until I absolutely need
wow.
to have one, just out of spite for these people who are over-celebrating their much-needed haircut. Get them out.
Okay.
I smell rotten eggs.
How long do you think you can go? My guess is that you have not gotten a haircut since the beginning of quarantine, which would be like early March. So you're
right.
On 4 months now, early March to early July. Yeah, about 4 months. How long do you think you can go?
Well, I mean, I really don't have a reason to get one. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything that requires my hair to
have
really
a job.
Be in shape. Right. I mean, but I am getting close to like mullet level in the back
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
And like even in the shower now or like in the pool the other day, I could feel the long hair like pinned to the back of my neck, which is really
right.
unsettling. So we're close to it, but I'm going to hold that as long as I can because I feel like I need to die on this haircut hill at the moment.
So I had the Bourbon Bell cut my hair as we did it on the deck virtually with my hairstylist, who's actually a family friend. And so we were on a FaceTime call, and she would tell Kathy, the hairdresser, would tell the Bourbon Bell what to cut. And so she just cleaned up the bottom, just the bottom around the neck, and then shaved the neck hairs and then cut a little bit around the ears. Really, that's the only crucial parts here that, you know, that's how you kind of clean things up. And I feel like I can get another 4 months out of this, because if it's just a little trim here or there, you know, you might not really need it. But, you know, Bogues, I got to tell you, I'm really looking forward to just sitting in a chair, having that soapy warm water on my scalp and having it cleaned. Now you realize what a little blessing going to get your hair cut really is, right?
Yeah, I mean, and we had Sean break this down with his very manly yet almost sexual haircut, being like rubbed down and it was all manly and whatever.
Yeah, his was weird.
I don't miss a haircut or the experience. And actually, I like my hair this long. I've always wanted to really grow it long, but like never had the ability to not cut it for this long. So I actually, I want to leave it long-ish, but I just do need the neck cleaned up and around my ears. And then I can sit here again for weeks, if not months, without a real haircut. So maybe I need to do what you did, just find someone that can walk my wife through a quick little cleanup just to give me some kind of reset here. But I'm not going into a barbershop for the foreseeable future.
I'd like you taking a stance on this.
I got to take one in my life. Here it is.
This is AB's cause that he will die on. Connor Green is on the Wheels of Steel today, one of the Diaper D aliens. Connor Green, who are you trashing?
Well, DA, I have to trash myself because I'm getting ready for bed last night, and I had like a little bit of pain in my legs, and I kind of felt like growing pains a little bit, even though they're not growing pains.
Yeah.
And it went through my mind for a split second, maybe I'll have like a Dennis Rodman type growth spurt. I'll grow 12 inches or something. I'll be 6'6". I'll try out for the Jets and take them to the Super Bowl, throw 5 touchdowns in the Super Bowl, and win the whole thing. I'm staring out the window, daydreaming all of this as a 25-year-old man. And then I had to like snap back to reality and realize that that's not going to happen. And in fact, what did happen just before that is I ate an entire rotisserie chicken by myself for dinner. And the reason my legs hurt is probably just because I'm out of shape. So, DA, get me out.
Illegal dumping.
Well, I guess that's better than just crushing frozen pizza every single day. You've actually expanded your palate, Connor.
I guess chicken is a little bit better than frozen pizzas, but I don't think eating an entire rotisserie chicken would be recommended by, like, the FDA as part of a healthy diet.
Yeah, just so you know, at 25, that's not a growth spurt. That's not growing pains in your knees. That's arthritis that's sitting
right. That's okay. Just old age and me getting older and having back pain and leg pain.
Billy Giacalone is our associate producer today. Billy Jock, as we measure things in Giacalones, is now on the phone, or on the horn, I should say, on the microphone. And so, Billy G, what are you trashing today?
What's up, DA? So I have a little, I know what we can measure in Giacalones today, DA.
Okay.
Let's count in Giacalones how many messages I get back on online dating. That would be a grand total of 0.
Ooh, wow.
DA, I can't take it anymore, bro. I can't do it. People, and I'm not the only one who feels this way. I'm really not the only one who feels this way. I put the effort. I was talking to Connor about this morning. Okay. I put the effort out there. You know, I make my profile look really good, and I just can't do it anymore, DA. I cannot do it. I can't do it.
So what's the timeline that you've gotten 0 responses?
I mean, I've gotten like a couple, but nothing that ever goes anywhere. DA, honestly, it's been like 3 years.
So for 3 years, it's been slim picking dating online for Billy Jock.
Well, slim picking, that's really putting it nicely. I mean, geez, DA. Look, This is a family radio station, so I can't say everything I want to say, but I mean, just think about me every once in a while. I mean, geez.
Say a prayer.
Let me ask you, Billy, has it dried up even more than normal during quarantine? Have you seen even less responses than normal?
Well, I thought going into this whole thing, I was like, all right, let me get back into this because no one's doing anything. Everybody's mm-hmm. going to be home. Yeah. And, you know, I might, you know, you might meet somebody. You never know.
Yeah, feeling frisky.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you gotta put yourself out there, DA. But you know what? I'm not putting myself out there anymore. If they like me, you come find me. That's it.
He is such a sexy man.
Overflowing landfill.
So do we need to get Lisa Ramos and or Katie Lindendahl back involved here to work up
idea.
Billy to improve the social media kind of branding here and get him a little more action?
Great idea. Billy G, would you be open to having Lisa Ramos come in studio when we're allowed back in studio and having her do a Billy Jock makeover and rebrand you on social media and on dating online apps?
Yeah.
Please. I mean, let's go. Get her back in here when things are back to normal, when we're all back in the studio. Let's do, I have hair now again, too.
Yeah.
You want some of mine, Billy?
How did that happen that you got hair again?
So it's called scalp micropigmentation. Okay. And it's basically just like recoloring my scalp. So it's like they just put back the color that I lost.
Gotcha.
And I like it.
All right. Yeah, you said you feel good. You think it looks good as well, which is cool. All right. Well, now we have our next DA show project. Lisa Ramos in studio the moment the quarantine ends for CBS Sports Radio. And we'll do a extreme makeover for Billy Jock's dating profile. I like this.
Yeah.
The de-aiding game we will play with Lisa Ramos and Billy Jock. I am trashing the neighbor of my in-laws because over the weekend, went up to Rhode Island where my wife's parents live. And they've got this really beautiful backyard set up with a pool and a set of really nice chairs and tables and this kind of outdoor kitchen where we can grill and there's an outdoor fridge. So the whole thing, there's a fire pit. It's just this kind of really serene, beautiful place to be for vacation. So our annual tradition is to go up there for the long 4th of July weekend and just spend a couple of days relaxing and getting some sun and cooking and being with family friends. And I'm telling you, the last couple of days when I was up there for the 4-day weekend, I was just so chill, so relaxed. You know, you go out, you make your burger on the grill, you sit around a fire pit at night, you have a few drinks, you go in the pool, you hear the ocean that's a couple of blocks away. You know, it's just really beautiful and serene. And yet I'm sitting out there on the final day, which was Sunday, and I hear, I'm like, what is that? 5 minutes later, I'm like, what? The neighbor on the other side of the fence has some real terrible Jody Mac lung issue going on, and he likes to hawk loogies all day long. Not like when you have the flu, you hawk one loogie like an hour, try to clear your throat. Not like it's just one day that you might have to clear a loogie. Every single day for at least once every 10 to 15 minutes, he hawks the biggest loogie on the other side of the fence. And it's not like these are huge, spacious backyards. These are fences right up against each other's lots. So I'm sitting there trying to relax, and all I hear is the Jody Mac black cough, the black lung, just constantly every 10 minutes. And I'm going, this would be awesome, except it's like hearing gunfire. I mean, you're like, oh God. Oh. Oh, it's a loogie. It's black lung. It's corona. I'm like, oh my God, get me out of here. So trash the neighbor with the black lung.
Stinky debris.
Hit us up with your trash.
I've been complaining about the fireworks here in the New York City area. You can set them off in my backyard before I would want to live next to this dude. And here, you know, and I just did it again on the camera on watchda.com. That Jody Mack noise is my kryptonite. It is the worst thing I can hear. We've played it how many times now? And my skin crawls.
855-212-4227.
Why would you do that to me, Connor?
The best part about it was right when Connor played that drop, I could see Bogish on the live stream cringe. He like flinched, like, yep. No one hurts. All right, send us your trashes. DA on CBS on Twitter. DA on CBS or on the phones, 855-212-4227. When we come back, we'll talk about the NBA's return, or what will it look like and if it'll happen, with NBA Radio's Justin Termini next. DA, CBS Sports Radio. First, let's talk about Nick Markakis. Veteran of the Atlanta Braves, becomes the newest member of that team to bail on the season. He says he will not play after speaking to Freddie Freeman, who has come down with COVID-19 and is struggling with it. Markakis says he will not play this year for the Atlanta Braves. And when you hear any of these players taking themselves out of the competition due to safety, health precautions, concerns, as I said yesterday about Felix Hernandez and others, I cannot judge that. It's just not up to me. If that is what these guys feel comfortable doing, punting on their salary, taking it easy this year, and not putting themselves in harm's way in their mind because they might have somebody at home that is high risk, if they're trying to protect their wives or their kids or their grandparents or their parents, I totally get it. If they feel like, you know what, I don't want to risk what this might do long-term to my body. My body is what makes me money. It is my career. We don't know a lot about this virus still. We don't know the long-term effects, of course. I'm just not comfortable putting myself in harm's way. I totally get that. I completely understand that. Everybody has their own situation to deal with. And I'm never going to judge anybody that errs on the side of caution in this thing. I think people that are fighting the mask thing are ridiculous. I think that's utterly ridiculous to paint this as a governmental conspiracy or somehow the ripping away of your civil liberties is such an insane way to think about it. When I see the people that show up at Walmart or Trader Joe's or Whole Foods or Target and they start going crazy because people are escorting them out of the shopping establishment because they don't have a mask, and they're yelling about civil liberties and governmental control, I just roll my eyes. Have you never walked into a 7-Eleven and seen the sign that says no shirt, no shoes, no service? Have you ever noticed that the same exact thing? Everybody else in the 7-Eleven has shoes on except you. And you're going to yell about civil liberties? Some type of governmental control? Because, hey, you know what? You can't walk in off the beach without a shirt on. Sorry. We kind of need you to have some decorum here. It's the same exact thing. So people fighting this, I'm not saying you have to be a shut-in. I certainly live my life, and when I have to go out in public, I wear a mask and I try to social distance as much as possible. And, you know, you just try to be responsible. But if you're erring on the side of caution because you have whatever concerns, I get it. Totally get it. And so I'm not going to judge any of these players that are pulling themselves out for that. But I thought this was really interesting that Nick Markakis cited as a big reason why, basically the final straw for him, was no fans at the ballpark. He continually said in his statement that because there were no fans at the ballpark, he just couldn't get behind this, and that they play for the fans and in front of the fans. Without the fans, this was all meaningless. I want to play for you a clip of Nick Markakis from the Braves.
You know, it was tough. It was kind of eye-opening. And, you know, with everything that's going on, you know, not just in baseball, but in the world, it makes you open your eyes. I got three kids that I've missed for, you know, 11 years now. And, you know, I love the game. I love competing every day. But the biggest thing, you know, my decision is, you know, we play this game for the fans. And, you know, to be able to go out there on a daily basis and compete and entertain for them, you know, that's what it's all about. And to have to go out there and not have them part of that, and it's tough. And I think that was kind of my ultimate decision. You know, we play for the fans.
Yeah, but Nick, you're still playing for the fans, even though we're not there. It's not like nobody wants to be there. It's not like there's nobody watching on TV. In fact, you could make the argument that this year playing is the most important thing for fans ever. You could make the argument that by not playing, it's the biggest insult to fans ever. Nick, we're not there not because we don't want to be there, not because we don't care. We're not there because we're not allowed to be there. And that's a totally different dynamic. Okay, you play for the fans. We're watching on TV. Fans are dying to get baseball back, Nick. I don't know if you've noticed, but every single day, sports fans wake up hoping today is the day that sports comes back. We are walking through a desert without any oasis. We are holding on to Korean baseball, Nick. Okay? We are watching on TV players that we've never heard and teams we've never heard. Nick, we are watching German soccer. Nick, we are here. We are fans. We want to be there. We are watching. You're still playing for us if that's that big a deal. I respect Nick Markakis' decision out of safety and out of concern for health and family, and that is totally, totally, totally fine and acceptable. But Nick Markakis saying, I'm not going to play this year because the final blow for me was without fans. We play for the fans. Without them, this all feels meaningless. We're still here. I mean, come on.
You know, we play this game for the fans.
Yes, and we are dying for you to play on TV in empty ballparks. We're absolutely dying for you to take the field and swing a bat and throw a baseball and just give us some normalcy. Give us some diversion, some outlet, some chance to cheer. We haven't had a chance to cheer in 4 months, Nick. We just want to cheer. Okay, did you see the 4th of July? People just set off fireworks that have never set off fireworks in their entire lives. Why? They just wanted something exciting going on. They just wanted a little bit of juice. For 4 months, we had no juice, Nick. Nothing. Somebody should tell Nick Markakis, yeah, even though we're not in the ballpark, we're still here, and we need you more than ever.
You know, we play this game for the fans.
Good. They're still fans. He said, to have to go out there and play in front of an environment with no fans is not baseball to me. That's not how I grew up. That's not how I was brought up in the game. It's all about the fans. The fans are what make this whole operation run. To have to go out there and not have them part of it, it's tough. Baseball is baseball, but to me, it's not baseball without fans at the ballpark. It's a tough decision, but the right decision for myself.
Not having fans at the ballpark is going to be eerie and spooky and weird. We can all agree on that. Okay?
But when you say it's all about the fans are what make this whole operation run, yeah, that's why you even have a league right now that's playing 60 games on TV. It's because we are here to watch it. Okay? If the television network said, doesn't matter, nobody's watching, there's not going to be one single set of eyeballs on us, they're not paying the money to have the league restart. The league isn't restarting without television money because we are here to watch it, Nick. Yes, we are what makes the whole operation run. and we're still here, which is why your operation is restarting. I mean, no offense to Nick Markakis, but this is such a backward logic. Health, safety, concerns, totally get it. I'm not playing because there's no fans there. What? Nick, we're all, even though we're not at the ballpark, we're watching on TV because we can't be at the ballpark. Oh, by the way, if SunTrust Field or whatever they renamed the ballpark in Atlanta said tomorrow, tickets are on sale, we're stuffing the house, come see opening night for the Braves, they would sell it out. There would still be enough people. I mean, we see the videos every single weekend of people just partying together in pools and at lakes and at bars. I mean, it's not like there's not enough people to go around to go to a ballpark these days. It's just not safe, but there would be people. Nick, the fans are still there. You'd have people in the ballpark if we were allowed to be there.
You know, we play this game for the fans.
Okay, good. Well, we need you to play. We need you to play baseball on TV for us. We need that. That's what we need. If this is about us, we need that. Have you not noticed what has happened over the last 4 months? We're watching German soccer and Korean baseball, dude. We watched a horse competition, crying out loud. The biggest thing in sports was a 10-part documentary on something that happened 25 years ago, man. We're here. The fans are still around. We're here. We need you to play. We watched a bunch of coaches fiddle and fuddle around their laptops in their man caves and basements to draft players in the NFL, and we gave them record numbers. We'll watch anything, Nick, including your baseball. So if you could play and you want to play for us, please play. We watched Roger Goodell in a sweater stolen off the Mr. Rogers set reading names off of cue cards. Record numbers. The fans are here, Nick. We are here ready to watch your product. Big sports news of the day is Patrick Mahomes earning an obscene contract. And I only say obscene because it's more money than we've ever seen in North American team sports, but not because it's not earned nor deserved. $450 million with incentives, $503 million. Now, granted, it might not all come to Patrick Mahomes. That's not how NFL contracts work. Not every red cent is guaranteed, unlike baseball or basketball. But in this case, even if every red cent was earned, $503 million coming to Mahomes over the next 10 or 11 years, it would be worth it. Patrick Mahomes is a unicorn. Patrick Mahomes is the only player in the NFL that you could hand $450 million to and nobody would argue. He's the only guy in the NFL you could hand $450 million to right now, and the people that gave it and cut the check would say, that's a good deal. Because Patrick Mahomes has a completely out-of-this-world combination. Think of this Venn diagram, if you will. On the one side, you have accomplishment, and on the other side, you have age. And accomplishment and age, oftentimes, the overlap is when you're older. More years, more experience, more accomplishment. That in just 2 years as a starting quarterback, Mahomes has gone to the AFC Championship game, leading the Chiefs to the number one record in the AFC and losing in overtime to the dynasty of dynasties in New England, while being the NFL MVP, and followed that up by leading his team to a Super Bowl championship, the first one that team has played in a half century, shows you that at only 24 years old, Mahomes has proven to be the best at what he does. And that the length of time that he'll also be the best at what he is is 8, 10, 12 or more years. I mean, look, I can't sit here and tell you in 2020, the summer of 2020, that in the summer of 2025, there is not another Patrick Mahomes type of quarterback. Maybe that's Trevor Lawrence. Maybe Lamar Jackson turns into that. Maybe Kyler Murray turns into that. Maybe there's a kid we never have heard of yet, kind of like where we were 5 years ago on Patrick Mahomes, or 5 years before Mahomes was drafted on Patrick Mahomes. But the idea here is that Mahomes has proven to be amazing at what he does, accomplished already, an obvious leader, grounded, and not a guy that would get fat and happy on his money, and he's 24 years old. So you could lock him into a 10-year extension that kicks in after this season. So for the next 11 years, have him under contract. And it still would only take him to 35 years old. By the time this contract is over, he still won't be as old as Ben Roethlisberger or Drew Brees or Tom Brady or even Aaron Rodgers is right now. That's insane. So, of course, this is a good deal. And because this is a good deal for the Chiefs, and of course, $500 million is a good deal for Patrick Mahomes, it begs the question, is Mahomes the most valuable player in all of North American sports? I mean, LeBron is right now a greater icon. So is Tiger Woods. Those guys have already established themselves as one of the greatest ever to do it. And their resume, unimpeachable. Those guys, LeBron and Tiger Woods, will forever, for as long as we all live and well beyond our lifetimes, be considered by the record books and by the historians and by the fans that come along to be of the greatest ever to do it. We don't know if Mahomes will get there yet. We assume he will, but he's only 24 years old. There was no way to guarantee that for Tiger 24 or LeBron at 24, even though we had pretty good signs, just like Mahomes, that they were going to be iconic. At 24, we still didn't know how exactly it would look. But now we know LeBron and Tiger, those two are, for North American sports, they will forever be two of the greatest ever to do it, and they play right now. Mike Trout will also likely be considered in that rarefied air. That 50 years from now, we will look back and still consider Mike Trout to be one of the greatest players ever, and he would have been playing in 2020. So LeBron, Tiger, Mike Trout, these are our American-born athletes that are at the pinnacle of what they do and will be considered one of the greatest ever to do it. Very obviously in a short, short list. But look at the ages of those guys. I mean, the age of LeBron James is late 30s. For Tiger Woods, it's early 40s. Mike Trout is younger than those guys. But if I were to tell you Mike Trout's going to do this for five more years, he's 28 now, he'll be 29 this summer. He's got 5 years left of kind of extraordinary, otherworldly production like he's doing right now, and that'll tail off at 35 or 34. You'd probably nod your head and say, yeah, that sounds about right. For Patrick Mahomes, there is no sign right now of slowdown in 5 years. He'll only be 29 years old. And Patrick Mahomes plays a far more important position on the field than Mike Trout does. As great as Mike Trout is, Mike Trout cannot completely take over games the way a quarterback in the NFL can. Patrick Mahomes has proven that there is nobody else that right now is playing sports that's worth as much money as him. Because not only is he great now, like LeBron is, like Mike Trout is, but that you can bet on his stock for 10 more years. Not only is he already knocking on the door of the pantheon of greats, but he should be there for 10 or 11 or even 12 more years. And hell, If he plays as long as Breeze and Brady have, you're talking about another 16 to 17 years of Patrick Mahomes. Could you imagine if we have another 17 years of Mahomes because he's playing at a level like Brady did that late into his career, early 40s? Patrick Mahomes is the MVP of all sports. There is no more valuable player for what he does today and how long you have that window. And for the position that he plays, the impact on the game. Then Patrick Mahomes at 24 years old, which is why every cent he earns is worth it. On Thursday night, our CBS Sports radio sister station and Entercom-owned station in Baltimore did something amazing. 105.7 aired the Big Mo Show, 6 p.m. until 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It was co-hosted by Jeremy Kahn, who's the evening show host, longtime afternoon show host at 105.7, who is a close family friend of my friend Little Mo. And you guys know how much Little Mo means to me, a young man at 14 years old that has spent the entirety of his life in and out of hospitals because he is battling cancer of all parts of his body. He was blinded by a cancerous growth on his retina when he was just 9 months old. And he has turned to sports radio as his outlet. He called our show for a long time when he was only 8 or 9 years old and just was an amazing, amazing young voice to have here on the show. And I always got a kick out of Little Mo. And has been calling 105.7 in Baltimore for the last couple of years and has become a civic icon in Baltimore because everybody knows the story of Little Mo. Little Mo just graduated 8th grade, and so now he's Big Mo. He'll tell you that. He's Big Mo now. And I got a chance to spend a day with him last Friday, 2 Fridays ago. And it is one of the greatest moments of my life and will forever be one of the greatest moments of my life. He is my hero for his attitude, his positivity, and his message amidst a life of real hardship. And I wish we could all take just a little piece of Little Mo with us because we could all use it right about now. And I wish that our leaders, and I wish that our people that make grand, broad decisions would have a little piece of Little Mo, because we would all be far better for it. And we'd be safer and happier and better. Little Mo is that extraordinary. And on Thursday night, Little Mo got to co-host, as a dream of his own sports radio show from his bedroom. Jeremy Kahn and 105.7 set up the studio in his bedroom. I want to play for you the best of the Big Mo Show from last Thursday night.
From calling the station when his mom wasn't home.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What up, mom? Dude?
Hey. Sorry, that keeps recording in the background.
To a full-fledged fan personality.
Shut the heck up.
To a Baltimore hero.
What up, Baltimore?
Live from the home of Mo. Slow down. 105.7 The Fan.
What's going on, Baltimore? It is the Big Mo Show with yours truly, Mo Gabba. And co-hosting with me, Jeremy Kahn.
What's up, Mo?
Hey.
We're live from your bedroom. Your mom is live streaming this as much as she can. That's what we were talking about. Mo's in his brand new bed. Getting ready for all these guests we have lined up. So many guests, people that want to talk to you.
Yeah, but before we go any further, I would just like to take 6 seconds of silence for my friend Justin. He passed away last night from cancer. Let's just take 6 seconds just to remember him. Thank you.
So, Mo, that's why I love you, man, because you're always thinking about everybody else and not about yourself. It's your show, and of course, you lost a friend last night, and you wanted to send that out to his mom, right?
Yeah, I wanted to send, because last week I saw a post on Facebook that just things took a turn for the worse for him.
Yeah, so it's just, of course, it's sad.
Yeah, it's really sad.
But, you know, we're going to try to have a good time tonight, and we're going to try to get into all the different things that we want to talk about, because we have, oh, so many guests. I just saw the guest list, and I don't think a show has ever been bigger than the Big Mo show is going to be tonight. You realize that, right? We're going to go out. We were playing some of that music. You got to call a Ravens draft pick. You've met this guy. You've spoken to him on numerous occasions.
Yes.
It's head coach John Harbaugh on the line with you, Mo. John, how are you?
Mo, my man. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. You sound great on the radio. I mean, this is a this is your future, man. You're a superstar. It's fun listening to you.
Thanks.
What do you think about the team this year, Mo? What's your predictions, and what do you think we're going to do, and what should we do? You got any advice?
Well, I really think you guys are going to make it all the way to the Super Bowl this year, because last year you guys did amazing, but I think the Titans were just more prepared than you guys were. I think I don't know, but we're going to make it all the way this year. I just know it.
The next guest I wanted to bring in, he's one of my favorites. You know, I used to talk about him all the time. And one thing that I really like about him is that he likes his guys. His name is Buck Showalter. I know you met him.
So,
Buck,
gosh.
Welcome to the Big Mo Show.
Mo, do you have a question for me? What was your favorite moment with the Orioles? Do you remember, have a fond memory?
Well, I had a lot of fun memories with the Orioles, but I think my most favorite one was the day I threw out the first pitch.
We're gonna head out to the phone lines. Mo, you know this guy.
Yeah.
You spoke to him earlier today. You call into his show. It's DA.
Oh my God!
Damon Amendola is with us.
Hey.
Big Mo, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Good to hear you, bud. Here's my wife, Amber Lee, who you met on Friday. She wants to say hi.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, we are listening, and this is what a show. I mean, you know, Mo, I know you told me that you wanted to do this when you grow up. You've got a good head start on everybody, because you had John Harbaugh come on, you had Buck Showalter come on, and you questioned the Ravens' preparation in a playoff game and why the Orioles didn't get to a World Series. So now we know you really got the chops to do this. Jeremy, you know that's not easy to do. Mo's got a head start on us here.
We have a really, really special guest on the phone line now.
Okay.
He's one of the best football players of all time.
Oh, wait. I know who it is.
Do you know who it is?
It's Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis is on the phone, and he wants to talk to you. Ray, how are you?
I'm good. I love Mo. How you doing?
Yeah, there you go. Welcome to the Big Mo Show.
The Big Mo Show. Big Mo, how are you doing?
Good. The song gave it away.
The song gave it away? Is that how you got it so quickly?
Yeah, because you did a squirrel dance.
He's so smart,
man. I do a squirrel dance. What are you doing, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
You sound amazing.
Thanks.
Do you know how special you are?
Yeah, a lot of people have been telling me.
The Big Mo Show on Thursday night. I sat there listening to it on Thursday night, and I had chills the entire night. I had chills. I got chills listening to it right there. The outpouring of appreciation for Mo over 4.5 hours from celebrities and also listeners and strangers that just have attached to Mo and taken what his message is of positivity and to always stay positive no matter what the situation was so touching. And I am so proud of 105.7 being part of our CBS Sports Radio Entercom family and doing that for Mo. I'm so proud of Jeremy Kahn and how he has become such a close family friend and would help Mo do that. Jeremy was just beautiful throughout the entire 4.5 hours. And I am so proud of little Mo now becoming Big Mo and showing everybody what light and heart and love is all about. If everybody took just a little piece, a little Mo every single day with them, we'd be all right. We'd be all right. And when you hear the light and heart and love in his voice and in his spirit, remember that you can be that way too. Maybe not as great as Big Mo, but you can do it. It's a choice. It's what Mo has taught us. Being positive is a choice, and being loving is a choice, and being understanding. And Mo, to start off his biggest night ever, starts off with 6 seconds of silence for somebody else. Big Mo will forever be my hero, and what happened on Thursday night was one of the most remarkable things I've ever heard on radio. And I was so touched, and the city of Baltimore is so amazing, and everybody involved in that was so amazing. And I wrote a piece about it for CBSSportsRadio.com. If you want to learn more about the night and hear more about the night, I included links to some of my favorite passages and moments of the night. But it was just absolutely one of the most wonderful things I have ever heard. When we come back here on the show, it's a Trash Tuesday, so I'll read through your trashes. And we've got an attitude from one NBA player that I think will feel very refreshing to many of you. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
All right, so Billy Giacalone, our associate producer today, has been on the dating apps recently and says he's getting no bites, none whatsoever. Now, it's been kind of dry for him in recent years, he said. So we're wondering, have dating apps been more or less effective during pandemic? On Twitter, 59% of you say less effective, which is kind of surprising because you would think, well, a lot of people are home and bored and can't really socialize in other ways, so that maybe dating apps might be a perfect place right now for people. On Facebook, 72% say they are less effective. So apparently people are just scared to meet other people right now. Maybe Billy Giacalone's dry spell is not just him. It's actually the pandemic that's hurting him. So that would be good news. Some other sabermetrics here. According to Match.com, women users under the age of 30 increased their daily average swipes by 37% in the month of April, though, compared to last February. So that would suggest they're swiping more. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls, and that is Billy Jock's dating bad luck.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Billy Giacalone is our associate producer today. Billy Jock, as we measure things in Giacalones, is now on the phone, or on the horn, I should say, on the microphone. And so, Billy G, what are you trashing today?
What's up, DA? So I have a little, I know what we can measure in Giacalones today, DA.
Okay.
Let's count in Giacalones how many messages I get back on online dating. That would be a grand total of zero.
You've got mail.
Psych! I can't take it anymore, bro.
Now, wait a minute.
I can't do it. And I'm not the only one who feels this way. I'm really not the only one who feels this way. I put the effort. I was talking to Connor about this morning. Okay. I put the effort out there. You know, I make my profile look really good, and I just can't do it anymore, DA. I cannot do it. I can't do it.
So what's the timeline that you've gotten zero responses?
I mean, I've gotten like a couple, but nothing that ever goes anywhere.
But I don't mean just any girl. I mean a very special girl.
DA, honestly, it's been like 3 years.
So for 3 years, it's been slim picking dating online for Billy Jock.
Well, slim picking, that's really putting it nicely. I mean, geez, DA. Look. This is a family radio station, so I can't say everything I want to say.
Dump it, bro.
But, I mean, just think about me every once in a while. I mean, jeez.
Say a prayer.
Let me ask you, Billy, has it dried up even more than normal during quarantine? Have you seen even less responses than normal?
Well, I thought going into this whole thing, I was like, all right, let me get back into this because No one's doing anything. Everybody's going to be home. Yep. And, you know, I might, you know, you might meet somebody. You never know.
Yeah, feeling frisky.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you gotta put yourself out there, DA. But you know what? I'm not putting myself out there anymore. If they like me, you come find me. That's it.
I'm done.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Some more little nuggets here. Tinder reported that on March the 29th, it had more action than any other day in history. 3 billion users swiped to connect. So pandemic might have been tough on Billy G, but apparently it's been working on dating apps for some others. Hey, that'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Connor Green, executive producer of the DA show this week. Thanks to Billy Jacqueline, associate producer. Andrew Bogish on your headlines. And the Wizard of WatchDA.com, Andrew Kaplan, handling the simulcast. We'll see you tomorrow. The mothership disconnects.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.